It remains an unfortunate fact of life that money can't buy happiness. It can, however, buy you a new shirt, magnet, sticker, mug, or journal featuring exclusive designs related to this podcast. By visiting ahistoryofjapan.threadless.com and buying some of the items featured there, you get yourself something beautiful and help support this podcast at the same time. Again, that's ahistoryofjapan.threadless.com. Visit the store today. Hello, and welcome to A History of Japan. Season 6, Episode 7, Tendai Troubles. As I hope I've made clear by now, the later Heian period was kind of a rough time in Japan's history. We've already discussed a little of how, in spite of their general seclusion from broader Heian society, the Buddhist clergy were not remotely exempt from the hardships that came with civil strife, wanton destruction, famine, disease, political instability, and so on. Even a relatively cohesive and unified religious group might have a squabble during a time of crisis, but the Tendai had a, tendency to go absolutely nuclear on anyone they perceived as an enemy. It probably didn't help that by the late 800s they had gained control over two temples located just outside of the capital. We discussed the founding of the Enryakuji Temple complex last season, but as a quick refresher, it sat atop Mount Hiei and was considered an important barrier between the capital and the evil direction of the northeast. There was another temple at the foot of the mountain, however, which was originally a shrine sponsored by Emperor Temmu in memory of his late brother, Emperor Tenji. No doubt this was partially intended to paper over the fact that Temmu Tenno fought a civil war against the late Emperor Tenji's son, but never mind, that was two seasons ago. The Tendai sect quickly grew numerous, and they were granted the usage of the shrine, which they developed into a complex of buildings which became known as Miidera Temple. The name Miidera means the Temple of Three Wells, and it was given this name by Enchin, who served as abbot of the temple at the foot of Mount Hiei in 873. Previously, in 854, Ennin was made the abbot of Enryakuji Temple almost a decade after he returned from his harrowing journey in China, which we covered last season in Episode 9, The Twilight of the Tong. Those who followed Ennin were ferociously loyal, and for understandable reasons. In addition to the hardship he had suffered in China, he also became very influential with the Kuge and founded a temple in distant Dewa province in the heart of the Tohoku region. Yamadera, or Mountain Temple, was an extension of Tendai Buddhism into the far corners of the nation and was a powerful symbol of that school's influence. It was funded at the time by Emperor Seiwa himself, which indicates just how influential Tendai was becoming under Ennin's leadership. When he passed away in 864, his disciples worked hard to preserve his legacy and teachings. The fact that Ennin had personally instructed them was a point of pride, and they considered the followers of other teachers to be inferior. Enchin was appointed as head abbot of the Tendai order in 873, and here the troubles began. The disciples of the late Ennin were dissatisfied with this appointment, though it seems their objections were motivated by location rather than any specific doctrinal dispute. In Japanese Buddhism, and in most East Asian iterations of Buddhism, your teacher is a very important individual, as is their own lineage of teachers before them. Thus, the followers of Ennin refused to play nice with the new abbot, igniting a split in the Tendai school. The community of monks who operated under Enchin at Miidera Temple later became known as the Jimon School, Jimon meaning Temple Gate, and the Enchin faction at Enryakuji were dubbed the Sanmon School, Sanmon meaning Mountain Gate. This would prove a permanent separation between these two temples, in spite of the fact that they were technically part of the same school of Buddhism. We would do well to remember that the monasteries and temples of Heian Japan, and indeed the monasteries and churches of medieval Europe, were also landowners and political entities. Some were attracted to religious life because their hearts burned at the thought of touching the infinite, and others joined because they believed life in the cloister would give them easy access to power which would otherwise remain outside of their grasp. As time went on, the split between the Jimon and Sanmon only seemed to get worse. Even when Enchin died in 891, there was no talk of reconciliation. If anything, this only intensified the rivalry between the temples, which would eventually escalate into acts of physical violence and destructive terror. I'd like to pause before we get to the physical violence and destructive terror, however, to discuss some of the changes that occurred in Tendai's theology, practice, and doctrine during the later Heian. Both Ennin and Enchin worked to better incorporate esoteric Buddhism into Tendai practices. Esoteric Buddhism, you may recall, consists of secret teachings which are passed from a teacher only to students which they select. The Lotus Sutra continued to be elevated above the other texts, but other doctrines filtered in nonetheless. Ennin in particular was instrumental in bringing back texts from China that included teachings which would eventually become independent religious movements. Chief among these was the Pure Land teachings which Fujiwara Michinaga found so compelling. Pure Land is sometimes referred to as Nembutsu, a Japanese shorthand for calling upon the name of the Buddha. When it first arrived on Japan, it came with its own series of rituals and practices which were meant to gain the attention and the blessing of the Buddha Amida, so that practitioners could be reborn in the paradise realm he had created. In spite of their disunity, Tendai became more influential within the imperial court than Shingon. This was probably due in large part to the fact that the Tendai temples were near the capital, while the principal Shingon temple complex was on Mount Koya, located about 100 kilometers, that's about 67 miles, south of the capital. While Shingon remained the official form of Buddhism practiced by the imperial family, the Fujiwara clan drifted noticeably toward Tendai during the later Heian. Lesser sons of the Fujiwara and other powerful Kuge clans sometimes joined the Tendai school, which might also explain some of the factionalism that emerged. By the mid-900s, tensions between the Jimon and Sanmon factions were reaching dangerous levels, with monks and priests occasionally partaking in armed clashes with one another. In 966, a new abbot was appointed to Enryakuji Temple, the one on top of the mountain. Ryōgen was something of a firebrand, and like Saicho, he engaged in debates with the Nara schools who, though they were still around, were not really of much consequence. He attempted to establish Enryakuji as the authoritative leader of Tendai, and himself as the undisputed arbiter of Tendai faith. He did this primarily through political maneuvering at the court through the Bureau of Religious Affairs, and currying favor with the emperor by performing a special prayer for the safe deliverance of His Majesty's child. Both baby and mother survived the birth, and Ryōgen's star continued to rise. He was, himself, from the Ennin lineage, and sought to marginalize the followers of Enchin at every opportunity. Qualified monks who claimed Enchin as their spiritual father were passed over for promotions, while those who were taught by the disciples of Ennin were fast-tracked for higher appointments within the Tendai school. Back in 935, a terrible fire burned much of Enryakuji's buildings down. To make matters worse, the same year that Ryōgen was made abbot of Enryakuji, 966, a fire broke out that destroyed even more of the withering temple complex. Ryōgen used his political connections at court to fund the rebuilding effort, even pursuing much-needed renovations for the main hall at the center of the temple and making it larger. All of this served to make Enryakuji the primary Tendai temple in the minds of the Kuge, who were impressed with Ryōgen's legitimately impressive ability to achieve such vast construction in a reasonable time frame, no small feat in the later Heian. In 970, as tensions flared between Miidera and Enryakuji, Ryōgen did not want his own monks engaging in violence against their brothers in Miidera. So he made a proclamation which included a strict prohibition against monks bearing weapons at all. By itself, this seems like a foolish move. If the monks of Miidera think that Enryakuji is unarmed, it might only give them more motivation to attack. However, while Ryōgen may have been a devout practitioner, serious about restoring monastic discipline, he was not a complete idiot. He hired a group of mercenaries to serve as guards of Enryakuji, which allowed his monks to get back to seeking enlightenment and protected the mountaintop complex from its enemies. In 981, his influence at court reached its apex when he was appointed as Sōjō, administrator of priests, which was the highest ecclesiastical office in the Japanese government. While he is credited with reviving Enryakuji, both through his reforms and through its rebuilding, he certainly deserves some blame for entrenching factionalism within Tendai. To be fair to old Ryōgen, there was probably nothing any one person could do to practically reconcile Enryakuji and Miidera at this point anyway. When you feel the need to hire armed protection, the conflict has probably already become unresolvable. There were some Tendai monks who were disillusioned by the ongoing civil war within their sect and refused to participate. While most of them continued practicing, they left their home temple and sought sanctuary in remote areas of the wilderness. Asceticism has pretty much always been revered in Japanese culture, and some of these men earned themselves a reputation as pious practitioners who were practically on the cusp of becoming bodhisattvas themselves. One disciple of Ryōgen was named Genshin, who greatly impressed several members of the imperial court with his performance in a debate in 974. If he was more ambitious, he probably would have eventually replaced Ryōgen as the chief abbot, but by 981 he was completely disillusioned with the ongoing quarrel with Miidera and with Ryōgen's determination to suppress the lineage of Enshin. Genshin left Enryakuji, but not the mountain itself. Mount Hiei is actually quite large, and on its northern side is an area near a river called Yōkawa. This is where Genshin and other like-minded practitioners fled and formed their own little satellite community far from the quarreling. Besides being fed up with the religious establishment at Enryakuji, the Yōkawa group were interested in exploring and discussing the ideas of the Pure Land of Buddha Amida. One thing they could all agree on, given the turbulent nature of the times they lived in, was that they were living in the age of Mappo. According to Mahayana doctrine of the day, there were three ages. The former age, in which practitioners were able to follow the Eightfold Path taught by the Buddha Sakyamuni, the middle age, in which these teachings would begin to fail because of men's ambition and greed, and the latter age, called Mappo in Japanese, in which humanity would become so degenerate and Sakyamuni's teachings so twisted by corrupt leaders that there was no hope of rebirth through the usual methods prescribed by the Buddha. Thus, being reborn in the Pure Land by gaining the good favor of Buddha Amida was seen as a great alternative way to escape samsara, the endless cycle of karmic rebirth. In 985, Genshin wrote a massive book called Ojo Yoshu, which translates to The Essentials of Rebirth in the Pure Land. While it obviously advocated for the propagation of Pure Land teachings, Genshin was careful to place Pure Land doctrine into the existing web of Tendai teachings. Many were impressed with this work, and it was read widely both by the quarreling monks of the Jimon and Sanmon, as well as members of the court, including the future dictator Fujiwara Michinaga. In 1001, after he returned from a pilgrimage to Kyushu, Genshin was invited to participate in ceremonies at the imperial court, a huge honor. Genshin agreed, but still managed to keep his distance. He was treated like a celebrity, and Michinaga himself even asked the monks to perform private ceremonies just for him, but Genshin refused, politely, of course. The Tale of Genji even has a character referred to as the Bishop of Yōkawa, which most scholars believe was referring to Genshin. He died in 1017, his hand tied to a statue of Buddha Amida as he recited the Nembutsu chant, surrounded by disciples. The specific chant, and it will come up again next season, is Namu Amida Butsu, which translates to, "I take refuge in the Buddha Amida." As for the official Tendai school, it remained a divided mess, and the Jimon and Sanmon sects would continue their quarreling well into the 1100s. We will return to the fighting monks later this season when they disobey the late Abbot Ryogen's order and start taking up arms once more. Eventually, some of them would set aside the quest for enlightenment, and instead focus their time and efforts on practicing deadly martial arts. Next time, we will pick up the imperial thread right where we left it, in the hands of Regent Fujiwara Yorimichi and Emperor Go Ichijo, as they deal with the rising warrior class, the shrinking imperial revenues, and the growth of private estates. Until then, thank you for listening. If you would like access to exclusive bonus episodes, as well as ad-free versions of the regular episodes, please consider supporting this podcast at patreon.com/ahistoryofjapan.